Christopher Buck and Leonie Leger with Humanity Healing.
Hello. Good,
thank you. How are you?
We're doing okay.
We're doing well. We have tonight set up as an open conference call. This is a question and answer session. We have a full lecture on Stellar Code Cyrus on the website, which we encourage everyone, if they haven't heard it, to listen to. Tonight, specifically, we wanted to have a more intimate get-together and answer questions. So if there's anybody out there who wants to ask a question about the Stellar Codes or
Amber Izzard.
Or Stellar Code Cyrus in particular, yes. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Did you ask me a question?
Well, what I was saying is tonight's a question and answer session, and we're all in conversation mode, so we can all talk. If you've got a very noisy background, I'll ask you to mute yourself. But we're seeing if anybody had questions on the Stellar Codes or Stellar Code Cyrus in particular.
No, I actually just got an email, so I thought I would just check out and listen to the conversation.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. That's fine, too. So we can, you know, if anybody has a question about the Stellar Code, or we can just start.
We can start talking
Hello?
About them.
Hello?
My name is Scar.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi, I'm just announcing myself, letting you know I'm listening.
Oh, well, we're
glad
you're here. We're having kind of a roundtable discussion tonight. We're talking about the Stellar Codes.
Right.
Are there any particular questions you have about the codes, or about Cyrus in particular?
Well, since I don't know anything about them, you know, everything you say is
Well, why don't we just start?
Yes, let's talk about Stellar Codes in general.
Okay.
You know, we brought back the Stellar Codes. The Stellar Codes is actually, it's a compendium of methods and practices that were used since the dawn of humanity. It's a series of meditations and applications and attunements.
It's a spiritual path.
It's a spiritual path. But basically, we can say there were, you know, the script of every single ancient temple on, you know, of mankind.
Ancient civilization, before there were the solar cults, before there were the lunar cults, there were stellar cults. And I hate the term cult, but that's referring to a worship or
an understanding
of. And because civilizations from the dawn of time, they based their calendars, their important events. Everything was tied to the rising of certain stars in the night sky. Cyrus being, of course, a very big one. It was known as Sothis to the Egyptians. But when we talk about that the Stellar Codes are going back to a lot of the ageless and ancient traditions, you know, the oldest religious documents we have in history, they're the Pyramid Texts. They're about 2800 B.C., as I recall. And there's a quote that we use from them in particular, which is referring to it, "I am a soul, I am a star of gold." And the ancient Egyptians believed that after death, they would go to, particularly the pharaohs, they would go to the night sky in the area of Orion and be reborn as a star. And it's kind of interesting because there actually is a nebula in this particular area of the sky, but it isn't visible to the naked eye. So how the Egyptians knew that there was a vast star field being born in this small section of the sky is kind of a mystery.
So the Stellar Codes basically is a compendium of spiritual development that has been here forever. It's part of the what we call ageless wisdom. We have the Stellar Codes. It's actually a Stellar Code Mastership program. It runs one entire year.
Yeah, this is a serious program for people who are serious about their spiritual practice.
Well, I think I'm signed up for it, Leanne. We corresponded a couple of times.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's good. You probably are. You're on the university?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we've corresponded a couple times. I'm interested in learning how, you know, all this ancient information or wisdom is imparted to members on the Humanity Healing Network. It seems like a lot to learn. So I'm anxious to get involved in it.
Well, there is a lot to learn. And when we talk about we're really interested in people who are serious about it, it takes a year to go through the full mastery. You know,
right.
For the personal matrix mastery, there's a total of 9 different codes. You know, would you get into the teaching mastery when you look to become a teacher, and Leonie and I have made a commitment that we're going to train 72 master teachers. And after that, that's our commitment, and they can take the lineage to the next level. But because we've got other projects that we're supposed to work with, and to be honest, between the university and the nonprofit and the magazine, everything, we're kind of stretched thin. So we're really looking forward to getting our master teachers up and certified
and going.
Well, I'm trying to go in that direction, so I'm interested in doing that.
Well, the sign up for the Cyrus Code, it's in the on the member discount page. So I recommend you get.
I've tried to sign up for it. I think Leanne had me signed up. I don't know if it's a scholarship or some sort of approach concerning the actual fees for it.
Well, do me a favor and send Leonie an email afterwards,
yes.
And let's make sure we've got it all squared away.
Yes.
Okay. I have. I sent her one the last few days. I haven't heard back yet, though.
We've been on the road for 2 days. So she may she may not have been able to get down through it and understand that... she gets a lot of emails, so it's
yeah. Sometimes in my email box, actually I'm in the third email box, it popped. So it's it goes for one email, another I have to play catch up with 3 emails when it goes and it popping.
I'm there somewhere. So
okay,
we'll track it down.
Okay,
send an email to contact@humanityhealing.net.
And we'll make sure or send a new one, and we'll make sure we can find it, because it may be on the back page.
I sent one yesterday.
Okay.
One yesterday, so you should have it.
So what we've got is this Distillerco. When we talk about the different things, it's like we're working on and why it takes a year and why there's a lot of different techniques. Each code has typically multiple meditations, multiple what we call entunements. This is work that you all do on yourself so that you're open and available and ready to receive the attunement and initiation, which Leonie and I will do. But what we are doing, each of these, is we work through them. There are 3 empowerments with each code. For instance, with Cyrus, we've got the Cyrus empowerment, Regulus, and then Talutakumi, which are the 3 empowerments that go with Cyrus. These 3 threads, as you will, braid themselves together into a strand. The different strands will braid themselves into cords, and there are 3 distinct cords of the Stellar Codes. There's the light maker, the light weaver, and the light warrior.
Well, why we talk about cords? We talk about cords because the entire objective to enter a spiritual path is build your pathway back to God. So when the soul comes to a embodiment, you come what they call a silver cord.
The sutrama.
But the silver cord usually is your connection with your soul and your higher self, and, Godhead, ultimately. But the silver cord is, the size of your thumb.
Yeah, the ancient traditions tell us that the sutrama is approximately the diameter of your thumb. Now, when you build back your antatakarana, which is the sutrama is your soul's connection with you. When you build this back to your soul, or antakarana,
your center channel,
which is, it builds back at about the diameter of the head.
So it is you can hear this, and then some literature refers to this way back as the rainbow bridge. So what we do is we tread again the path back, and you build upon your sutrama all the cords of light that brings you personality, who you are. Like, I am Liani today, but I'm building back my Antakarana to be again, or be, you know, in contact, or more so infuse, or receive more direct, what you call absorb more light, because enlightenment is just what it is receiving the ability to receive and absorb more light, because light is what supports and feeds the universe. And knowing the light is the love of God that is pouring upon us incessantly, you know, constantly, the ability to absorb this is what we need in order to be really complete human beings, not partially human beings. So as you increase your potential of light, you burn karma. You get a side of the wheel of karma. You need to restructure that. You restructure this as you build your Antakarana back. When you build your Antakarana, you change your spiritual DNA. So it is a process of enlightenment. You know, it's enlightenment is. And basically, you know, you're going to have in other literatures as well that the process of ascension that a lot of the spiritual community is talking right now is a process where you will absorb at least 80% more light than we do naturally. Now, how do you do that when you live in a crazy world? It's a question. The question, it is a question, and the question is basically, the world has been crazy for a long time. We're crazy in this society, but maybe in the time of, I don't know, Christ, it was already also a crazy time. How did they do that? Because mankind didn't stop evolving. We are still a project. So we went back and started looking and said, well, there is a way, because this is a process. And how was this process? And then we found this line, or, you know, the silver lining that connect all the dots since the Far East of history of man to the West. And you have this through, you know, Kabbalah, you have this through the Sabians, you have this through the Egyptians. You see that very clearly, the Chaldeans and, you know, even in India. All of them have a series of practices, and all of those practices rely on the stars. Now, why the stars? Okay, why the stars? The ancients, the ancient people, believed that the stars incarnated certain spirits. Spirits that were always of the angelic realm. So when you talk about Sirius, when you talk about Regulus, actually, which is a star of the heart of the lion, you know, it manifests basically in the 21st of July. No, 29, I'm sorry. 29 of July is when the time that Regulus, which is the star of the heart of the lion, is in the top of the constellation. So why this was so significant? I tell you, the lion was a symbol of power, but a power of what you call a king power. And it was not for anything that Jesus Christ was known as the Lion of Judah, because Jesus Christ actually, you know, according to some traditions, he was not born in the 24th of December, but actually he was born in the summertime, and exactly in the 29th of July, he was a Leo, it's say himself. He was born when in the star that shows up was nothing more than the Regulus pointing down. The reason they say that he was not born in the winter, as the churches want to say, is because the winter in the desert is very unkind. No pastors, no shepherds would be on the fields. if, you know, in the darn winter with their animals, sleeping with their animals, like the Bible says. You know, if it was a winter in the desert, you know, it's absolutely incredible, incredibly cold. So it's not, it's what is not possible. So they tend to say that Jesus' date of birth was actually when Regulus was in the top of the sky in conjunction with Cyrus, which is in itself a star of power and a star of kingdom, kings. Cyrus is a powerful energy because he incarnates in itself the energy of the Christ consciousness. Cyrus is what you would call the alter ego of our sun, you know, our the sun of our solar system.
There's a connection between the two.
And you see, the power of Cyrus is even more prominent at this point of the year, you know, where, that's where exactly where the Egyptians had all the cults, especially on the temple of Isis, because this time of the year, Cyrus is activated by two other big constellations. One is the Pleiades, and the other one is the Ursa Major. The ancients believed that the Ursa Major was the place where reside the seven rishis, or the seven governors of the manifested universe. You know, it's which like the God is up there, and he has seven of, I would say, mayors, or, you know,
his top council.
Top council. So they were, according to the ancient times, they resided in the Ursa Major. And the other side, the Pleiades, the seven sisters, were supposed to be the seven wives of the major guys. So they represent the maternal aspect and the male aspect. And Cyrus is the son. So they would be on this level of universe that is manifested, the energy of the mother, the energy of the father, and the energy of the son is Cyrus. So
it's a pretty potent star.
It is a very incredible star, and we shows it to be the beginning of the stellar codes, because with Cyrus, you are able to actually anchor really deep the energy of the Christ. Of course, we're not talking about Jesus Christ necessarily.
We're talking about Christ consciousness.
We're talking about Christ consciousness. There were many that carried the Christ consciousness energy on earth. And Jesus, one of the most prominent masters, was able to do that. But not only him, but...
Isn't Sirius... In the sky, isn't it closely related to Orion? Isn't it near the constellation of Orion?
They're not really near. They have expectation, but the expectation with Cyrus and Orion comes more by the end of the year when they get the precession and what is, you know, going to start rotating. It's more towards the end of the year. You know, Orion is an ascendant on the end of the year, especially, and like in fall comes.
Hello, can I ask a question?
Sure.
Sorry to interrupt, but I just sort of don't want to get too far away from one point before, you know, then I lose my question. It's Moon Woman Guardian here, and I'm in Australia, so I'm in the Southern Hemisphere. So one of my important questions is, how does that affect attunements, et cetera, you know, with the different seasons? Are the stars just the same energy, no matter what hemisphere it's in?
Leonie, do you want to answer this one?
Well, you know, it really doesn't matter if you see this, as we are all connected in one energy and one impulse towards ascension. You know, it's like, you know, I came from the Southern Hemisphere myself, but we do have the same, you know, actually is opposite that's here. Like, for instance, we are in summer here, and in Brazil is winter. But we do have the same, I would say, marker points. And what is important, basically, is the change of the energy in general. They are always complementary. They're opposite, but in complement. You know, you don't look at opposite as conflicting, but as a complement. So, you know, you receiving the energy is being channeled to you. I'm using channeled as the lack of a better term, but I would prefer to say when you do a stellacode, what we do is we do a fiery transmission, you know, because the energy, and the energy of Cyrus specifically, it's an energy of fire. You know, the sun, the energy of the Leo is a fiery sign. So it is a fiery transmission. What you will do is ignite the tri-flame of your heart. All of us have the flames that makes you different from any other, it makes human different from any other sentient being, is the trine flame. With the will of God, the love of God, and the will, the love, and the action. So those three flames, they're representing, that's what we call as the treads of the light worker, the light weaver, and the light warrior.
As far as the sun of the hemisphere, we're still being bathed by this energy. You don't have to actually be able to see the star to have... know that the earth is being bathed with this particular energy at this particular time. The only thing that we have found is with certain of the codes and with certain of the symbols that we use, is that with some of the codes there are spiral components, and we found that in the southern hemisphere the spiral is backwards, or it's the opposite direction from the northern hemisphere as far as the symbol itself, and really because of how we're working the energy, and that's really the only major difference between north and south hemisphere.
That's what I've found with my work over the years. Well, I'm of, you know, Indigenous Australian, and so I've learnt from an early age, you know, which way our spirals went, and then, you know, working with instructions from the northern hemisphere, I found that the spirals had to go
The opposite direction. There's actually a principle in physics called the Coriolis effect, which deals with how the spiral works with the magnetic field of the Earth. Which is, and we can go off on a tangent. We really don't need to go off on this tangent because people's eyes start glazing over. But the truth is that the spirals in the northern and the southern hemisphere operate in the opposite hand as they're done, and it has to do with the physics of the system.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I hope we answer you.
And I think that's
good. Yes.
And one of the things that I love to hear and I love to learn as we go through this, for instance, we're talking with a person from a different culture and a different system of training, and that she has learned independently that, you know, the symbols with spirals or spirals and this type of thing is opposite. I think that's just
fascinating.
Because everything truly is connected if you go deep enough.
Yes,
we all won.
You know, science is about proving points. Well, you know, we can, if we wanted to, prove these points that, you know, these symbols work because in the northern hemisphere they're this way, in the southern hemisphere they're this way, and it's come from a culture in the southern hemisphere that, you know, seemed to be 60,000 years old. And, you know, in the 1960s, I was taught how to do it. So, you know, scientifically we can prove it, but why bother? Why use our energy on that? Because we know it works.
Well, it's one of the differences I've noticed with the Eastern versus the Western mind is, you know, in the West we tend to have to prove something that is a fact before we'll believe it, and with the more Eastern philosophies or the Indigenous philosophies, it's like it works and like, okay, we can prove it scientifically, but we're starting at the point where we already know it works. We don't have to prove it works to make us believe it.
Exactly, and that's what, you know, we were taught from an early age. You know, you didn't question when you were taught it was this way. You didn't even bother to ask why or how. It just was. Just
yeah, exactly. I came from the same school you did. It's like, you know, you have to rediscover everything after you yourself start questioning. It's almost a rediscover of something that you actually knew that was this way. But it's an interesting, you know, the ways that we relearn and remember is so interesting, how we are and who we are, especially. And the stellar codes is this. You know, it's based on what you call today. You know, the Carl Sagan has a saying that he says, we are star stuff. We are the material that the universe has made. And if you are really connected with the concept that we all one, and there is no difference on in the essence that we are. We have different manifestation, different consciousness stages, you know, but we all one. So there is nothing different between me and the stars or the suns. They're just more evolved in the our expression of their stage of consciousness and manifestation. So it's very much the stellar code is almost like bringing back brings back the elements that are needed for us to remember who we are. I would say basically, and this is not something that we say usually to everyone, I know, especially in open conferences, but for those that accompany this course, they come to the realization that the stellar codes basically is what we call part of the galactic ascension. The galactic ascension, because there's two...
There being two schools of ascension, galactic and planetary.
Yeah, there's planetary ascension that's going on right now on Earth. So we all go into the shifts. We have all been called to restructure our lives because the changes outside are pressuring us to change inside. This is what we're going on right now. But independently of this, we are servant human beings, and we can choose to either just go through the planetary ascension, which is right now getting, you know, conscious and to do this conscious, you know, collective conscious shift on Earth, and you can do this school or do a school of galactic ascension. The school of galactic ascension will prepare you with the energies and the keys of leaving Earth. You are able to choose immediately what do you want to do. Do you want to do, you know, what they call Earth 2 or Earth after the changes? You know, you can. This is in your process. Or you want to go and acquire the codes to try another line of evolution because this is part of,
for instance,
you know,
the angelic line.
And, you know, the angelic line of evolution. So there are codes inside of the Stellar Code Mastership where you receive the keys to attune yourself to certain orders of angels. Because all the stars are representative of angels, basically archangels or the higher ones, what you call archeos. So it's like the protective angels, the guardian angels, they are all codes. And this is not that we invented. This has been in the history of man since forever.
We have packaged this, and I won't say packaged this, but we have put this under the name the Stellar Codes. You know, they didn't necessarily call them this in ancient times. You know, at different schools of mystery or different paths of mastery, they're different names, and we've brought these together and lumped them under a group called the Stellar Codes, and it's kind of a crash course. In the course of a year, you're essentially doing what would have in ancient times taken you
12 years
to do. But you know, everything's kind of accelerated right now. But it's a serious program, and it takes a serious commitment. We don't want to do it in less than a year. Because
it's overwhelming. Because you see, when you go through the Stellar Codes, you go through a series of processes. We start today talking about Cyrus. Cyrus is the first anchoring of the energy of Christ consciousness on you. Why this is necessary? It's necessary because the Christ consciousness is the energy of expansion and is the representative of the energy of the Mother, Father, God in expansion and pure love. This is the light. Now, when you get that, you know, this is your first step. Then you go to other process. You go to the process of, you know, from one another code that we have, which is very intense. Yeah, the other one is speaker. When you have the contact with the mother and the energy of the mother, the energy of nurturing, which is the energy of the light weaver, is the one that can, give you the energy to be the comforter. It's a lot to do with the guardian angels. Then you go to a very hardcore code that I regard as hardcore code, which is Antares. Antares is the energy of Scorpio. Is the heart, the red heart of the Scorpio. Antares is a very hardcore because in Antares you work all your resentments and all, not only from this life, in order to ascend, in order to enlighten, you have to, you know, put light on what is darkness inside of you. So you want to work with the very, very deep feelings there are through lifetimes that you inherit from your bloodline.
As you go from lifetime to lifetime through your reincarnation or your bloodline, you have different karmic debris that builds up. And this all needs to be flushed out of your system. And we do this at this happens at different parts of the stellar code. We offer as a unit something called the ancestral healing, which is something people can do individually. But it's in fact it is drawn from three different codes that we do with a stellar code program. And as you go through the stellar code program, you get this. It's part of the program.
The program.
But it's there
because it's your mastery, it's your your freedom. So we will go with you, and you get attuned. And we have a very close relationship because, you know, it's we work a lot with lucid dreams and some, you know, direct techniques and meditations. And you will see things, and then we will be with you to clean up. You know, it's a very intense work. It's a one-on-one work.
And there's one other thing I want to point out quickly. Is we keep talking about that Cyrus being the beginning. In the stellar codes, you think of this as the wheel of the stars. It's a wheel. It doesn't really matter at what point of the wheel you start, but if Cyrus is a very good beginning, and that's why when we first started coming out and decided we were going to teach the stellar codes, we decided to wait and start with Cyrus simply because we thought it was a propitious beginning.
Yes. But, you know, and again, in another point, you are going to face your ego, you know, and there is a stellar code that you will face. How you are.
The demon of the threshold.
Yeah, the demon of the threshold, which is yourself, you know, because if there is one person responsible for your actions here on Earth, that's you. So you will face yourself. And those codes, you know, you need to be brave. I'm not going to scare anybody, but this is a work that you will do in any path of self-realization.
It's serious spiritual work, and this... There are many paths of mastery that are out there. This is a path of mastery.
We don't profess to have the answers for everything, but it certainly changes your perspective, and is you can talk with some of our students. For those that are part of our community, I will soon make a group there so the students can talk and exchange experiences and how their lives changed since they started, you know, because it's a deep internal work, and we will be with you all the way, all the steps.
Well, that's our commitment to you.
That's our commitment to you. It's not like we're going to start, a sandstorm and not being there, you guiding you out of the sandstorm.
We have gone out and we tend to. Once we get on a roll, it's really easy to just keep talking and going through. Are there any questions that anybody has, either over what we've discussed or with questions as far as Cyrus in particular or in general on these things? Anybody?
Have you yourself done the ego codes?
Yes.
So you've been through, have you been through all the different codes yourself?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Wow. Thank you.
In order to be a master teacher, you have to go through these.
Yeah, you have to go through these yourself. And like I said, it's not really, ego itself, as long as you your first encounter with your ego, it's a very
humbling
experience because it will wait for you. It's a meditation, and you induce, and it will wait for you. So the way you will show to yourself, it's different for each one. But basically, it's a battle. It's a battle because in ancient times it was called the demon of the portal, that don't allow you to cross the threshold to have entire access of what is the will of your soul, what is divine will for you, and what is your soul plan. Because the ego has their own, the ego always have their own agenda. And
first of all, it's like we're not bashing egos. Everybody has an ego. Everybody
needs an
ego. But what we are talking about is, as far as your ego and your soul, is you can't let your ego or your 3D, situation here completely overshadow and outshout the voice of your soul, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
totally. What we're helping you build here is a greater pathway or a greater connection with your higher self so that you can live more soul-infused. That's the whole nature of Antahkarana. Now, one of the things that we should mention here is as we talk about the stellar codes, we do this through an archetypical journey. And the archetypical journey we've chosen to help illustrate the fact of the different, it does it extremely well, is the labors of Hercules. And Hercules himself was, he had a divine father, he had a mortal mother, and he battled with the divinity within him. And the labors of Hercules are step by step, go through different struggles, different steps along a path of self-mastery that eventually you reach the point where you accept your divine and you become the divine being that you is your birthright. And this is the story of Hercules in a very...
He was a semi-divine being, but he forgot who he was. And he had to reconquer that through the 12 labors, which is an allegory of the 12 signs of the zodiac and an allegory of 12 stages that a soul passes to acquire understanding.
Which happens to correlate with the stellar codes.
Exactly. And what happened with him, the first labor is actually killing the lion of Nemea.
Nemea, yes.
Now, and I want to just see the pronunciation because my accent is horrible. But the lion of Nemea, I don't know how you guys
I always pronounce it Nemea, but this is the one you always see Hercules in later stories. He's always wearing a lion's pelt. This is where he defeated this ravaging beast and killed it. And this is representative of and it's an allegory to what you face with Osiris attunement.
Which is the beginning, is the portal. Cyrus is the portal of immortality. So if you believe on, we live in a third, third dimension, the 3D, it's our reality now. The 4D is a reality above time. And the 5D is eternity, which is not the 4D. 5D is eternity. In order to reach eternity, in order to cross, you need to pass through the portal of Cyrus. You need to be attuned with the energy of Cyrus, which is the esoteric sun that reigns over our sun. Like I said, is the alter ego, but in the, I would say the higher self, not alter ego.
That's a good way to say it. Cyrus is the higher self of our sun.
So that's the way you pass through immortality, you know, to be a really immortal. We have immortal souls, but we didn't conquer immortality yet because we did not voluntarily and consciously absorb the light and absorb the knowledge and the wisdom, not the knowledge itself, but the wisdom of what is to really be a human being complete and absolute that we came to learn in Earth School. Then when we complete that, we are able to step up and cross the, you know, what the Kabbalah calls the big abyss.
The abyss.
The abyss, and really reach immortality. So Cyrus is the doorway, and that was the reason that the Egyptians, during 35 days and 35 days before and 35 days after Cyrus was in conjunct with the sun, 70 days, they did not bury their dead. Because they believe that during 70 days in a year, the gates of heaven, but not heaven as we have here like fourth dimension, but the gates of immortality was closed. So they waited 70 days before anybody could be buried with the, you know, with the rituals and everything else, so Cyrus would be open again. So it starts in the beginning of June, and goes to the middle of July when Cyrus is hidden. Now, Cyrus is up in conjunction with Regulus, and that's when we
start the code.
The codes. Cyrus is in preeminence again. So this is, you know, this is based on ancient knowledge and ancient wisdom, and various schools. Osiris was known, and from the Babylonians, from the Egyptians, and
Osiris was known as Sothis with the Egyptians. That was their name for it.
Yeah. And so those are very important elements for us. And like I said, it is the beginning of the Christ consciousness inside. Now, can I get contact with Christ Conscious independent of the stellar code?
Yes,
you can.
As we said, this is a path of mastery. It is not the only path of mastery.
There are many ways. There are many ways. And of course, whatever calls you more, because you have to believe in the wisdom of your own soul in order to choose the best path for you, because we are a very diverse humanity right now, and we cannot say that one path fits all. It doesn't. It really doesn't. It would be very stupid to say that. It's like the same thing. One religion fits all. No.
No. And this is something that you all need before you begin this step, and before you go into it, you really need to evaluate if this calls to you and if you feel like this is the path you want to follow. We think it's a wonderful path, but it's like it's important that this resonates with you and that this resonates with your soul, because this is a commitment of time and energy that you shouldn't enter into lightly.
Yeah,
we would rather have fewer serious students than a whole bunch of less serious students.
Yes,
if that makes sense. So, anyway, we're completely talking too much again, overwhelming everything. Are there any questions?
Is your name woman again? Excuse me. I feel really called to do this, but I registered with the university and paid my membership, and I've been trying to get onto the members' discount page to sign up for the master course, but it's for some reason... not letting me in there, or it's not giving me the details. So,
well, here's one problem I have. Here's the question I have for you. When you sign in and you sign into the university, so you sign up on the site and you log in, are you able to get into like the online resource center?
Yes.
You can.
And then when I go to the Stellar Codes and it says go to the members discount page, and it takes me back to the request to sign up.
Now, are you sure you're logged in when you do this?
It does that with me, too, but all you have to do is go to the different areas. It just puts you back into the first page. I still am able to get into everything that I need to. It just looks like you're trying to sign in again, and you're not.
Okay. I'll have to look on that. What we found is that if you haven't signed in, it takes you back to the sign-up page. Once you sign in, if you can get in, like, the online resource center, then you should be able to get into everything that has... That's restricting the university. Now, let me just check one thing here and take a look real quick. There is a page like under services. If you go to Stellar Code Master on the university Online Resource Center and you go down to the Stellar Codes, there is an actual page that says Stellar or Cyrus Attunement Guidebook. And that one is a page that you actually have to sign up for the code first, and then it'll link you over to that page. But as far as getting into the Stellar Code page itself, or into anything else in the online resource center like the Sophia Codes, once you're logged in, and if you haven't logged in, you just click on that banner at the top of the site, the website. It says to log in, click here, and then sign in. Then you should be able to go anywhere. But the first page you always go back to is like the membership page, which is like welcome to our member, page. So just double check and make sure you can get everywhere. The sign up for Cyrus is on the member discount page, which is in the pull down thing under, it's the first one down under membership. And if you're having problem with that, let me know and I'll try to figure out why you're having problem. But if you're logged in, you should be able to access that page once you're logged in.
And you're Christopher, are you?
Excuse me?
Sorry, what was your name?
I didn't catch that. The phone slipped. What you were asking? What my name was?
Yes.
Yeah, my name is Christopher, and Leonie's
the charming
other voice.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. The other question I have is that with the attunement, do you do that individually, or is it,
The way we do the attunement is done individually, but it is not done like on the telephone or in a conference call or everything. What we do is we schedule a time with you, and you will go through the procedures in the guidebook that tell you as far as the attunement procedures, and then you'll activate your soul star, which is a technique that we teach you how to do, and then you will put yourself in a receptive meditative state. What we're doing here is we do our part of the ritual, which is the initiation part. And what we do is we connect soul star to soul star, and then we pass the transmission to you at that level. And then it comes, it's kind of like we connect up with our higher selves. Our higher selves is connecting with your higher self. Your higher self filters it down to you when you're in the open, receptive, meditative state. During the time period that we've set up with you, it's an interesting process, and it is a different technique from how a lot of things like
Reiki attunements
or things like that are done. It's kind of on a different level.
Okay, thank you.
However, it can be really fascinating. We've gotten some very interesting. Testimonials from people on their attunement procedure or attunement feelings.
You can do attunement distantly, like with the being in the same room. Okay.
Yes. That's because of how we do it. Now, typically, when we do a first time attunement with people, we like to have a picture, but it's not necessarily necessary. We have your name. We have your location, and more importantly, we have your intent. And it is through that we can connect at this level and then pass the attunement to you. We don't actually have to be hands-on to do it.
Okay. I do have one question. You mentioned moving into the fifth dimension. In the fifth dimension, does reincarnation exist?
Yes.
Okay.
It does. It depends a lot on what kind of path you choose. Because, you know, like again, we work on certain premises. One of them is that we are not, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. And their beings, none of the beings or none of the souls were conceived on Earth. There are external souls that came to art school to learn the experience of human being. Now, what is the experience of human beings and what is different from being a human being and being another line of evolution? There are other lines of evolution. Yes, there are many, as many can be, and some of them we don't even have the knowledge of it. We call them sons of God. They're not necessarily just angels, but they are devic line of evolution.
We're all children of God.
Yes.
If you look at it in the broad sense, and there are different lines of evolution.
But you see, the human experience in general, you came to Earth to acquire a certain level of understanding, and about the interconnection of all life. And you came here basically to learn compassion. This is a trademark of human race.
Of Earth and of Earth School. Learning of compassion.
The learning of compassion. But is a trait of human beings all over this universe. Being a human being is to have learned or being acquire a degree as a human being. You prove that you learn compassion. You know, and there is some steps, and there are some initiations, and I can refer to certain initiations, including the last initiation of Jesus Christ, when he transformed himself into light, what you call the episode of the Transfiguration. He did what we call the process of enlightenment, the process of integration of himself inside, and he was able to externalize the light. So there are some procedures to acquire a degree. You know, I would say, I graduated in Earth School. I learned compassion. I learned, you know, I acquired this and this. So you came to acquire some skills. Now, when you pass this, you know, we are always, you know, and souls, they're not necessarily, we are living in three dimensions, but doesn't mean that our soul origin came from three dimensions. We are here having a three-dimension experience. So when you conquer this level of understanding, which is, you know, you understanding that you are part of God, that manifests yourself, you know, and through you, God look at himself. You know, so when you say we are co-creators, we are co-creators with God because we can be the hands in three dimensions through experience. Now, we've conquered this. You receive, and this is, you know, you can see this thing, what I'm saying, also in a theosophy theory doctrine or even an anthroposophy doctrine, you can acquire or you conquer a point that you can choose what other line of evolution you would be liking or you feel more called to attend. You can be, you know, you can answer what they call the superhumans, which is humans with certain capabilities, or you can opt to enter the angelic realm and continue your evolution as an angelic being and enter the angelic realm and have, you know, teachings and learning on that realm, or you can go to a devic realm. And there is another line of evolution which is a very interesting, even though it's very slow. And they say that very little human beings choose nowadays to go through this path. It looks crazy, but actually this is written. It's not me that's saying it. Which is the line of the planetary evolution. So certain souls are called, like Mother Gaia, to be incarnating as the main spirit or the soul of certain planets or solar system. But to go to that point, you know, they say that the human being have to learn how to play in a team very well, because the solar system is a coordinated team. So there are other skills that you have to acquire before you really enter in a certain, you know,
certain path.
In this path specifically, we talk about this on the Code of Betelgeuse, because it's in Betelgeuse, the school of the planetary beings. But that's all right.
Did we answer the question, or did we just create more? Which we do often.
I'll call you back when it's done.
I'm sorry. I didn't quite catch that.
Sorry, I forgot I was live. Sorry.
Okay. Do we have any other questions? We're finishing up the hour. We're coming very close to the end of the hour, and I don't want us to get caught off in mid-sentence. We've got about 5 minutes left. Does anybody else have any questions about the stellar codes?
How many codes are there to learn?
In the Personal Matrix Mastery, we go through 9 codes during the year. There's 3 each of the different, what we've put into the Light Weaver, the Light Maker, and the Light Warrior. There's 9 codes there. When the Teaching Mastery...
there's 3 more codes.
When we do the Teaching Mastery, there's 3 additional codes which are part of there. There's a total of 12 codes. Just as there are 12 constellations of the Zodiac, 12 labors of... There are a lot of 12s out there.
Is there 12 dimensions?
I've heard
that number before, but is there more?
Yes.
There's more than 12?
Oh, yes. And there is more than 12. You go, you know, that's what you call eternity. You know, there's no time, it's just progress. And you know, the universe and the eternal universe continues unfolding, and that's infinite. So there is never, you know, it's never going to be an end, because we are always, you know, acquiring the understanding and expanding consciousness and building our antakarana back to God in different levels. You know, it's not something that, you know, you can choose. And, you know, God is not...
Yeah, it's not... We limit God when we try to define him.
God is not a dictatorial being. He doesn't say, if you don't do this time, you're doomed. He doesn't. He's a Democrat in one way. I mean, if more than a Democrat, you know, I'm trying to limit him. But he lets each one of his sons and daughters, each one of the parts of himself, unfold and experience and expand. Because through his creation that he understands and expands once more. So our experience is enriching God in one part. You know, it's an eternal unfolding and creating.
This is one of the things they talk about when we're co-creators, is because God experiences creation through us, and through that we co-create the new reality, the next level of God's expansion.
I have a question.
Yes.
Through the stellar code. Yeah. Are you able to ignite your Merkaba?
Oh yes. But even though this is not really our basic thing, the Merkaba itself is your field of, transportation, you know, and is your light body. You know, no, Ian, it's like people come and say, well, you have to build your light body.
You have a light body.
You don't have to build it.
You already got one.
You know,
it's part
like
of the package.
Ego. You come with the body, you come with the light body, you come with an ego, and you come with some sense of free will. So it is your light body.
Now I will say that the activation of your Merkava, your ability to do this, is a natural result of your development along the spiritual path. There are schools out there that do a force and activation of the Merkava. It is possible to artificially activate Merkaba. You often see this passed down master to student so that they know what to experience or and how to get there again on their own. But it is something
I kind of get that you have to be a master to be able to.
Well, we don't teach a technique on how to artificially activate Merkaba, if that was the question.
But what we do is, when you do your process, you will feel your Merkaba being connected, because don't let anybody fool you. The only thing that will connect, will make you activate your Merkaba, there's two elements. One is your intention. Nobody doesn't, then, you know, this thing of doing 17 breaths and putting your leg in the top of your head and jumping three times,
and,
you know. And
while you're visualizing the top half of the tetrahedron spinning one direction at this and the bottom half going the other direction at that, and you're breathing in a certain fashion, this is an artificial technique, and they're next to impossible to do.
Yeah.
It's almost like, if you didn't get it, it's because you didn't do something right. The truth is that the Merkaba is a natural extension of our spiritual growth.
And it will be activated when you have the intention. And once you build a minimum level of Antakarana back, you will have it.
And it's
natural. Well, it will be natural as you breathe.
So what we teach or what we do is we help you teach you the techniques and the tools. And this does take a commitment on you. We like to say a spiritual practice is just that, it's practice. And it is difficult to set aside time to do your entombments, your meditations, your this sort of thing. But they're important for you to do. And what we tend to do with the different codes is we'll often have maybe two or three different things that do essentially the same thing, because we're working towards one element, but they're a little bit different techniques. Some people, one will resonate with the other. That one didn't really feel good for me. What we're looking for is we're trying to give you the tools, and that you will practice and you will find the one that is correct for you in order to achieve that one goal. That one step. And as I said, there's lots of ways to make that step, but there's going to be one that resonates with you to make it easiest for you to get there.
And the Merkaba, like I said, is basically attached to your intention and attached to your connection with God. Godhead, or Mother, Father, God.
Or whatever.
You know, whatever name you give.
Yeah, God doesn't really care about the name. God is God.
Yes. So this is the secret of Merkaba, more than, you know, 17 breaths and
I've never been taught any methods. I'm not. I just know. I'm just aware of it, and I know.
Well,
it's
become a buzzword out there ever since this one Merkaba video was published, and a lot of people suddenly started talking about Merkaba and Merkaba activation, all this sort of thing, and selling techniques or workshops to do it. But it's not really, that's not really what Merkaba is.
You can't go
buy Merkaba at the spiritual store. It didn't come in that form. Merkaba comes after a serious spiritual practice and dedication. As you become a more serious, a serious student of it, and you become more soul infused, which is the goal, then Merkaba is a natural step in the process of spiritual evolution. So I don't know if that helped, or if you're like, damn, I kind of wanted it. You know, there was one of the things we saw once, and I really wish I'd bought them, was one lady we ran into was selling these insoles for your shoes. And then she guaranteed that once you put these insoles in your shoes, you wear them for a month and you'd become enlightened. And I thought,
that's
damn.
Not where I am at, so no, we're on the wrong path.
I'd like a pair of those, please.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm not delusional. I'm on my perfect journey right now, and I do practice every day in my meditations, and I have had some really amazing experiences, and I'm just aware that that our Merkaba, once we get to a certain consciousness, will automatically ignite, I guess.
Yes,
that.
Exactly.
And
you see,
I was
you know,
wondering
if you are,
with your stellar codes, if that's just another path in enlightenment.
As we said, the stellar codes are a path of mastery. They're not the only path of mastery.
Now, another thing is, for instance, you can see if you are activating Merkaba or not. You know, when you try to observe yourself, when you wake up in the morning, and the first time you go to the bathroom, when you're still kind of sleepy, if you close your eyes and you see rotating with your eyes closed, you feel like you are rotating clockwise.
Okay.
Your Merkaba is activated. It's too activated.
I know it's more common when you're sleeping, but I just was wondering if, you know, because I know that, you know, the spiritual journey is always practicing and always growing. I get that. I was just wondering if it was just a great tool for getting to the heights that you need to be able to be conscious.
Yes, you can speed. Yes, you can. You can speed with certain breathing practices. But if you have, you know, the practice of the breathing with certain words, you know, mantras of command, you will, you know, because certain mantras, what they do is they bring the frequency inside of you. So you start vibrating with that mantra. It's almost like you're touching one part of the cosmic music. So you enter in that frequency. It's almost like a radio. And you do, you know, you go in the dial to see what, you know, to get a radio station the best. You're doing that when you're doing the breathing with a certain visualization and the words of command. So, for instance, if you just want to be inside of the divine love and no question over things, which I cannot do, by the way, it's like sit down, relax, start breathing nostrils, alternating nostrils, and do the om. I can't. I don't. My mind, it doesn't go that way. I need words of command. You know, that's my Western mind.
Well, it's, you know, and it's interesting here, a little aside note. If you take a look at Kabbalah and you look at the Tree of Life, there's two essential paths that most people take. Well, one is the path of the adept. One is the path of the mystic. The path of the mystic is the one that's sitting there going home. The path of the adept is the one
that goes through knowledge.
That goes through knowledge. Mm-hmm. And so it's. But anyway, I'm getting off track. But it's if what's fascinating when we talk about the codes, we talk about the other schools of mystery. You go back deep enough, you'll find that they all appear to be drawing on the same source, and that's what for me is truly fascinating. So, are there any other code questions?
Yes, thank you.
The only question I have is, how do I log on to your website?
Okay, the website is humanityhealing.net.
Okay, so you are the two that run the whole Humanity Healing?
You could say that.
Oh, cool. Well, nice to meet you. It's a pleasure
meeting you. we're often, like, running around like, you know, and I apologize to any you know, vegans out there, chickens with their heads cut off. But it's been quite a rewarding experience to be able to participate with people like you, with these programs and with Humanity Healing and with the things we do, for instance, with a nonprofit. It really has been a very blessed experience for us.
Well, it's the same way in finding your network, your the Humanity Healing Network, I'm sure we feel the same way.
We appreciate that very much, even though it's like, you know, some people think that the network should be more movement, but this is a healing network, and, you know, it's like there's a different pace, and it's, you know, we don't want people to feel that, oh, my God, you have to do this now. No.
You
have your own timing. So.
Yes.
I've got a question. It's just about our certificates, you know.
Yes.
I just wondered, is Alcyon and Polaris going to be just sent to us?
Hey, we'll yes.
Yeah, talk to him.
Okay.
He's the one. He's the one.
What we do with Alcyon and Polaris, and what we do with the Stellar Code certificates, is we have those printed up on some really nice material, and we mail them to you.
It's beautiful, yeah.
And with the monthly attunements that we do, we just email those and you can print them out. But the Stellar Codes are really special to us, and so we take them to a good printer and we have them done. And it usually takes me a couple codes, and I'll do like two or three at once and then send them out, because it's our lives are crazy. You know, this past week was particularly crazy because on the first, we not only released Ohm Times magazine, which Leonie and I do the bulk of that, and that each magazine takes us about 200 hours, but we also had the university release with the spiritual exercise, and then the articles associated with that. So there's some times that are absolutely crazy, and then right after the first of the month, I always try to devote myself over to the nonprofit, which is with the offshoot of our House of Compassion, and we've got some incredible projects that we're going to be announcing shortly that we're doing in Africa and some other areas in the world, which is what we do all this for, is to be able to do this.
Now, like, for instance, we are going to build a hospice for dying patients of AIDS in Thailand,
and this is actually going to be annexed to the oldest Buddhist temple in Thailand, which is kind of cool. But it's like so as a result, it's sometimes I'm kind of late with the certificates. I ask everyone to bear with me, but we will get them to you.
Yeah, just because we're two crazy people.
It's the problem.
Oh, you're not. You guys
the problem is sometimes we just don't have enough hours in the day. And
right.
I still have Alcyon and I have Polaris to send out, and I know I haven't done them, and I'm sorry.
That's okay. Monday, the Access Moon Day, I got my Kuali, but I didn't get the other one from way long ago. Do you want me just to write to you? This is backup,
yeah,
by the way.
If you
I'm
would,
sorry.
That's no problem.
No.
I thought I had the last Axie Mundi sent out. I know I got the Axie Chelly out.
Yeah, I got that one, but I never got the other one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
no,
please.
Don't be sorry. I just want to know.
Well, no, I am, because I'm supposed to be organized enough to do this.
Yes, you're supposed to.
You know, it's like we each have certain jobs, and I'm obviously falling down on mine. But
yes.
No, send me an email, and I'll make sure I get you the Axie Mundi certificate.
Beans, all
right. We'll get that out. Now, for those of you who don't know about the Axie Chelly, Axie Mundi, these are also offshoots to the Stellar Code, but they're something that we can do for everybody. They take place four times a year. The Axie Chelly attunement takes place on the solstices, and the Axie Mundi attunement takes place on the equinox. And it's really a very cool alignment with the forces that be in the universe. If you think about this, it's with the Axie Chelly, we're going up through the transpersonal chakras, and this is kind of like a building a lightning rod. And with the Axie Mundi, we're going down through the subpersonal chakras to the earth core. It's kind of like a grounding rod. And what you're doing is between these two, we do a Haroline activation. This is where you're and connecting them, and this is really bringing you into full alignment with the things. It's a kind of a fun attunement. We do that four times a year. We open that up to everybody. It's not just for the people that are doing the Stellar Codes.
And we do have an attunement each month with different, type of attunements each month that's free for the people in the university.
The people in the university.
So you can take it if you want.
We've got a lot of stuff going on, which, of course, was why I sometimes don't necessarily get the certificates out of time.
Yes, like that.
But we do get them out eventually. I'm sorry.
We love you.
I have a question about the Stellar Code.
Yes.
Sure.
I haven't been on any of your conference calls with the Stellar Code. I've just seen this, and I got on this late. And apparently you guys have been doing this for a bit now, so people are already, through it.
Well, people join at different parts in the cycle. The Stellar Code is a year-long cycle. And it really, think of it as a wheel. I mean, the zodiac is a wheel. And it really doesn't matter at what point you start the Stellar Codes, because you're what we're doing is with each code, we're building a strand that's used to weave your Antakarana, your path back to your soul. And we've got all this stuff on the website. We've got a lot of information on the website. As a matter of fact, we've got a Stellar Code teleconference from last year on the website, and that goes through the whole archetypical journey. And I'd recommend that if you came in late, it's worth listening to. And but as far as when you start the Stellar Code, we think the best time to start is Cyrus. As a matter of fact, when we first started teaching the codes, we waited to start with Cyrus, not because it needs to start with Cyrus, but because Cyrus is a good start, if that makes sense.
And that's where you're at now.
And that's where the wheels come back around to Cyrus.
Yeah, we are graduating our first, you know, team of mastership.
Yeah, of the personal matrix master.
Yes.
You know, we'll be.
And so, are these going
to
be online things we do or teleconference?
We do teleconferences when we explain the codes and things like this. What we do with the codes themselves is when you sign up for the code, you get a guidebook and an appendix.
They're really hefty guidebooks.
It depends on the code. Some codes are heftier than others, but it's.
But they're usually 50 pages.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a book.
And what happens is in this guidebook you will find different exercises that you will do. We call them, there's meditations, this sort of thing. We call them attunements. It's basically spiritual work that you guys need, that the aspirant works through, which puts them ready to receive the attunement. And what we do is we schedule a time, and we don't connect on the phone. What we do is we connect on a higher plane. But you'll go through the exercises in the attunement procedure, which include activating your soul star, which is a technique we teach. As a matter of fact, we've got a wonderful book, Awakening the Internal Divine Star, and we give that out only to people who are doing the Stellar Code programs. It's not really any one code or one program, you know, for any one code, but it is techniques that you can use, you know, as far as they're of all the codes, so to speak. One of these techniques is activating your soul star. And what we do is we link on that level, and then we transmit the codes on that level. It's really kind of a cool process. But it allows us to.
Like a mantra, then?
Oh, it is more than a mantra.
No, it's more than a mantra. What we actually are doing is through our soul stars we connect, or we link at a soul level, and we'll pass the code at that level, and the code comes down to you, from your higher self to you.
Okay. And if you are a little psychic, you can see how this is done. In the higher level, you know, you actually can witness. It depends a lot on how you have your.
And typically, as people go through the codes, their third eye, their sight becomes better.
This is a side effect.
And
it's not well, you're doing the codes, you're going to, you know, everybody has their, you know, everybody is psychic.
It's one of the things that's like healing. There are a lot of people out there, for instance, Leonie and I, that are, you know, are Reiki practitioners who have done this in the past. And we all know how to flow energy and how that channels and this sort of thing. The energy that flows, the divine life force energy, comes to us down through our higher self. It comes down through our sutrama, all right, which is our silver cord. This is our soul's connection with us. You know, anybody who does astral traveling will always talk about the silver cord. You know, linking them back. This is the connection between your higher self and your body. Now, when we give Reiki energy, we're flowing energy. This is our conduit. What happens, and there are techniques, and there's what is called antikarana.
We already explained that.
She came in late.
Oh.
And what this is weaving back towards your soul from your body to your soul. But when you weave back, it comes back rather than being a thumb's diameter in size, which is your sutrama, or approximately. You know, the more you channel Reiki, the bigger this, you know, it's like exercising muscle. It gets a little bit bigger. But up to a point, when you build your antikarana back, that goes back the size of your head, is what tradition tells us. Now, if you take a look at, and we don't want people to sign up for the Stellar Codes because they think it's a healing modality. Healing is a side effect. It's not a... healing ability is a side effect. It's not the purpose of the codes. But what happens is you take a look at this. If you're flowing energy, you know, it's like flowing energy through a garden hose versus flowing energy through a fire hose. You can flow a hell of a lot more energy the bigger diameter you go. Mm-hmm. What we do here is, like I said, the healing aspect is a side effect, because as you learn to become more soul-infused, same thing with the opening of your third eye, same thing with Merkaba, all these other questions. As you become more soul-infused, as you live with a greater connection with your higher self, these things are natural abilities. We all have them. Well, you know, this is not exclusive. There are lots of paths so you can do this. But this is a path. But and we're not so presumptuous to say this is the only way this will happen. It's not.
Not.
This is a method or a set of teachings or this sort of thing. Just like there are a lot of other ones out there. We're not arrogant. We're not saying it's exclusive.
No, what my whole purpose here is I've been practicing this for 3 years, and I have had many amazing experiences, and I just know there's always room for growth, and I just keep seeking out different things that'll keep me on that path. So that's why I'm here. Like, I've already had great connection with my higher self and things like that, and I'm always looking to enhance everything that I'm experiencing. So that's why I'm asking.
Yes, and that's exactly it. With the energy of the stars, this is like, you know, especially for people that believe that they are human angels. This is what I would recommend more for people that are, you know, angelic humans living a human experience right now. And because it does have the contact and the codes with the angelic realm more integrated on your human system, your human matrix system, that opens you to your natural abilities, and it deepens more. You know, there we have a couple of people that did the code with us, and they are angelic humans, and they were able to experience the flu bone of their wings. Of course, most people think that's, you know, their story tale, but it's actually not. So they were able to experience their wings open up completely and feel and have how to deal with the wings in itself, which is a process too, and how to use the wings, because the wings for human angels, especially in 3G right now, living as humans, has more utility than just fly. you won't believe that, but
humans, wings are an aspect of power and of ability, and you can use that for different things. You can use it for protection. You can use them for healing.
You can use it for blessing.
But this is, as I said, this is something that you learn to develop, and you learn how to develop through different techniques that are part of this crash course towards, you know, spiritual growth.
And that's what I'm looking for, because like I said, I've had my experiences, I've had lots of growth, I've seen things that I never thought were possible, but now I want to keep searching for things that will more ground me and how to...
Yeah, and this is, you know, the most important part of this is that you understand maybe we're using a modern language. You know, and that's the reason we say ageless wisdom for the modern world. But this is not new age in the sense that I am channeling from, you know, an entity from. No, old wisdom.
We don't like the term new age. We don't want to be considered new age. We're old school.
You know, we adapt the language, of course, because, you know, we have a different social dynamic.
And that's essentially what we do. But that's you know, where we have a problem with New Age teachings, for the most part, is they'll take a section of ancient
teachings,
and then they build something up around it, and they've just got a part. They don't integrate that in. It's like if you take a look at a mosaic. A mosaic is countless different tiles that, you know, they may be beautiful individual tiles on their own, but it's not until you step back that you see the whole picture. And that's kind of what we're trying to do here, is we're trying to teach the picture.
Yeah, and if this is has been always here, this is not an invention of the 20th century. You know, it has been here since man is man, and it has been passed through various languages. You know, from different cultures and different civilizations. So this is like a rescue of, you know, what we think that is really humanity's inheritance.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Well, I appreciate that.
We're glad. Sometimes we create more questions than we answer.
Yeah, because we can talk forever.
We are running about half an hour over.
You're actually in tune because you did answer a lot more than I wanted answers, so that's great.
Well,
one more footnote for Leanne.
Yes.
If you, this is Star again, if you would just double check and see if I'm signed up for I think you told me I was, but I'm not sure. And then if I am, send me whatever books you have.
Yeah. What's your name again?
Star, S-T-R-R.
Oh, okay. Star.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we did, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked.
Yeah, Star. Yeah, there's Star Carney.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you were enrolled. Yes.
Oh, I just haven't received any books yet or anything, so.
Oh, well, we were just,
yeah,
I didn't say, but I will send it to you.
What I'll be doing out is I'll be sending those out in the next day or two. And then what we'll need to do is schedule a time to do the attunements.
Yes.
Sure.
Don't worry, you are on my
so
list.
Much. Thank you both for what you're doing. It's just
and
definitely
you're more welcome.
It.
So are there any other quick questions? If not, I'm going to bring this to a close. I've already gotten a couple of emails of things I need to look into.
Yeah, this is Moon Woman Guardian from the land down under.
Yeah.
And same thing, I'm really keen to sign up and certainly to do the mastership program, but I really am still having difficulties trying to get registered.
Okay, what I'll do is, as a matter of fact, you're one of the emails I have. What I'll do is, and also Esther, I think Esther's online too, and what I'm going to do afterwards is I'm going to go ahead and go into your account. I'm going to change the password to something because I don't know what your password is, and I'm going to see if I can't access everything like it is. Then I'll tell you what the new password is and make sure you have the link to the page. So I'll confirm that you guys can log in and get to the pages that you need to with the new password I give you, and then I'll mail those to you.
Yes. And another thing is that if you guys have any question, especially you there in down under and in the conference call, you know, we're going to have a new service soon.
We actually have the new service. We haven't had time to figure out how to use it yet.
Which will be easier to connect because it could be by the computer. So we would not need to pay a long-distance phone.
Or Skype.
Or Skype or anything. But,
so
you know, if you have any questions, you can add us, Humanity Healing, as one word, Humanity Healing on Skype. And just say that you are, you know, a student of the university and I accept you.
And we'll set up a time when we can talk and answer questions. We try to give as much access to the students as possible. We're not always able to respond right away because we really do juggle a lot of balls. But we do give special emphasis and attention to the people who are doing the stellar codes because we very much this is one of our life goals is to get our 72 trained,
yes.
And then because we've got other projects that have been assigned to us and we need to get those done, and it's, you know, we can only do so much at a time, so we really are anxious to get everyone on board and going and get fully trained because there's a lot of work out there that needs to be done.
So
I have one quick question. I'm on your main website. I'm just wondering, where do I click for the stellar code?
Okay. Are you a member of the university, or are you...
I'm just a basic member.
Okay, a basic member. To take a look at the... okay, let me... Where is my... All right. I know it's here. Okay. Oh. All right, here I am. I'm on the main website with you. Are you looking for, as far as the sign up for the Stellar Code, or are you looking for more information on the Stellar Code?
Possibly both. I want to look at it.
Okay. There's two places I want you to take a look. One of them is, if you're looking on the front page, you'll see up at the top, it'll say Humanity Healing to log in here. Then it talks about the structure of Humanity Healing. And then you'll have a bar of five different things. And in the center of that, there's a yellow bar with Stellar Codes underneath it.
Okay. I don't see that. I'm at humanityhealing.org.
Oh, no, you're on our nonprofit. Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm on, too.
Okay, go to humanityhealing.net.
Okay, net. That's why I'm seeing something different.
Yeah,
for Humanity Healing Network. The humanityhealing.org, that's actually the nonprofit. That was the offshoot or what the House of Compassion grew into, and that is what,
our projects that we do worldwide.
Those are the projects do worldwide. We've had vocational training programs that we've created in Uganda. As a matter of fact, we're getting ready to add a new project there, which is kind of exciting, and a few others. But yeah, that's our humanitarian spiritual
outreach.
Activism site, and that's where we connect people, or that's where we want to connect people like you through compassion to helping raise humanity. But this is our online school is humanityhealing.net.
Oh, okay, good.
Okay, so is everyone over at humanityhealing.net?
Yes.
Okay.
So I see the top with the picture structure of Humanity Healing and then the five world server.
Yeah, and right below there, one of those is Stellar Codes. If you click on that, that'll pull up all the different articles that talk about the Stellar Codes. And you'll see that there's a lot of different articles talking about different aspects of the Stellar Codes. The other place I want you guys to take a look at is up in the top menu bar. It goes Home, About Us, Guiding Tenants, University, Membership, and Services. Under Services, if you go down, you'll see the Stellar Code Mastership Program.
Okay.
And that goes into more detail about what the Stellar Code Mastership Program is.
Okay.
And we used to offer the Stellar Codes to people who are in the university, and we would also offer them to people that weren't in the university. But what we did is we gave a substantial discount to people who were in the university. Essentially, it was like the difference. The typical Stellar Code is $60, but for a non-member, we were charging $90. And nobody was ever signing up as a non-member, so we just said, look, join the university and do it that way. It's less expensive, although we'd be happy to do it to you for the other way, but it makes more sense to join. That way you also have access to all the other information. And university membership is $10 a month.
And what you receive every month, independently of the codes, is four spiritual exercises, new articles, we have conference and courses.
Three spiritual exercises and an attunement, but that's okay. Then we've got different teleconferences, and we've got access to all the material that we...
And all courses that we give,
We produce, and if you start going through, like, the Online Resource Center, you'll see there's a lot of stuff we've produced in the time we've been doing Humanity Healing. The Angelus alone, which is in Angels, is like an 80-page document on Angel. Anyway, you go look it up.
Rituals and everything.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Any other questions? Yeah, the fact that everyone was looking on the .org and not the .net, that's kind of a big one. So.
Well, we tried to keep it separate so we would avoid problems like this.
Well, something else for you all. We do have an online community. It's community.humanityhealing.net. You guys might want to go take a look at that. There's a lot of good groups there. There's a lot of people sharing a lot of good information. And that's free for everybody.
It's a free community.
What was that one called?
That's community.humanityhealing.net. But if you take a look on the Humanity Healing site, you'll see on the front page, let me go back over the front page.
That says community.
You know, right underneath those five bars where I was telling you the Stellar Codes, you'll see that there's five squares There's Ascending Hearts, which is a spiritually oriented dating site.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody is looking for a partner, that's a great place to look. Home Times Magazine, which
community.
Is, mm-hmm. And then there's the community. And you can click on the community, it'll take you right there, and that's just a fun place for people to gather. The other thing is, while I'm here, I'll tell you, is the directory. If you guys are in the holistic, any of the holistic enterprises, you're a Reiki master, you do a body work or something like that, we do have a directory. We do have free listings if you guys want to do that. So
it is. It's there. It's available. It's a service.
It's a service. So it's...
And our stellar masters will be permanently in our directory for free, you know, for as long as they practice.
So it's that'll be one of the perks, and we hope to be starting to populate that one soon.
Yes. So I think that's what...
Hopefully.
We didn't overwhelm anybody.
We tend to do that once we start getting on a roll because there is so much information. So any other questions? And if not, I'm going to wish everyone a wonderful evening and good night.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You guys have a nice evening.
Thank you all, and bless you for joining us this evening. We've really enjoyed sharing this with you.
And Star, you are in the program. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. You all
bye.
Take care. Have a wonderful evening.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.